A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Roos and Shine podcast, featuring us, the Swedish sisters, Josephine Roos and Victoria Roos Olsen.
Based in Brighton and Atlanta, we share experiences from our international lives and careers.
Good afternoon. This is Victoria sending from Atlanta.
And good morning. This is Josephine from New Zealand.
Yes. And this episode is going to be all about the new normal, right? So we've been in this crazy new world for the past year almost. And what are the new normals? And what are the trends that we're spotting? And what are the things that we'll forever remember as that time during COVID, and what will actually stay with us, right?
Yes. What do we want to let go of, and what do we want to bring with us into the new normal?
Yeah. So a year ago, we did an episode on how to stay sane when traveling extensively. And it was funny because that felt so relevant at the time. Yeah. And of course, it wasn't relevant at all for very long.
No. So
I just come back from this keynote in London.
Yeah, I would assume a lot of people are not listening back
no.
to that episode. It's not like, oh,
actually,
I'm going to...
Actually, it's not one of our most popular episodes, no. So in this episode, we want to talk about what's the new normal, things that we didn't expect to be normal a year ago, right? And I'm thinking we should just start with you, Josephine, because you're sort of breaking the trend here and having so many very new things happening to you. Give us, where are you, first of all? Tell us.
So I am listening back to the traveling, keeping sane while traveling, because I'm in New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
And this all happened incredibly quickly. We were sitting in the UK. My husband is, of course, from New Zealand. We were sitting in the UK. It was pouring down. It was great. It was lockdown. It was, you know, everything that it is right now.
Hard lockdown.
And we managed to secure a spot in managed isolation. We were incredibly lucky because...
So, you know, Josephine, that sounds to you that that's like a normal thing and that everyone will know what that is.
I will explain.
But what are you...
So New Zealand has mainly remained COVID-free, which is incredible.
Yes.
And one way that they are doing that is that they restrict how people enter New Zealand. And there are very limited spots to enter. And when you do come back to New Zealand, you have to sit 14 days in a hotel in a managed quarantine, managed isolation.
Mm.
So this had for like a long while ruled out even our possibility to go back to New Zealand, both because it's so hard to get these spots, but also because like who would like to do that with two kids?
And just to clarify, it's like, it sounds lovely to go and stay in a hotel for 2 weeks, but it's not really a hotel. It's a hotel room for 2 weeks.
It's a hotel room for 2 weeks. And it's a outdoor area that you are allowed to go onto if you have a blue wristband. And this blue wristband you get only if you are COVID-free. If you are not COVID-free, because you're tested on your first day, on your third day, and on your 12th day before leaving. If you're not COVID-free, which of course I was freaking out about when we arrived here, having like the most cough that I've had basically for the last year. And you heard my voice as well.
Yes.
Which is a non-existent voice. Then you are put into another, like less fancy option than this. And that could be up to 28 days in isolation. So I was freaking out about that. But no, the whole family are now wearing blue wristbands, which means that we are allowed to go outside into this kind of, we're actually really lucky. We're in a beautiful hotel with like a beautiful view.
Mm-hmm.
So we can go outside for most of the day, but only 1 hour of exercise though. So we only between 7 or 8 to 9 in the morning, we're allowed to run because of course you don't want to sweat too much so that your driplets of sweat can have an impact on the other guests.
So for me, who've just seen the pictures of all of this, I mean, just to clarify for all our listeners, it's like fenced in, right? And it's like a double fence. So,
it's incredibly serious. Yeah, it's incredibly
serious.
You
were met by the military.
Yeah, okay. So let's go back a couple of steps. So we get the call. We managed to, in 2 days, 1.5 days, we managed to get tickets to New Zealand, pack, run to Heathrow and get 3-hour COVID tests or PCR tests, and that we get back negative, which is also, you know, like we've never been like as coffee as we were when we took those tests. So we were like terrified about that. Then having a phone call from the travel agent in the middle of the night saying that the UK had stopped all of the flights to Dubai. So we had to go on an earlier flight that morning. So we had to go 8 hours earlier and then managed to, you know, fly through Dubai, then the 18-hour flight from Dubai via Kuala Lumpur to New Zealand.
So you did stop actually in Kuala Lumpur, but you didn't get to leave the plane,
yeah,
right?
45 minutes. Yeah. I wonder if they were refueling.
Yeah, that's probably what they do. Yeah,
exactly. And they changed staff, I think, but everyone was staying in the plane, you know, no one was allowed in or out. And then we get to New Zealand and immediately you feel like, okay, it's strict here. You know, it's incredibly strict.
Yes.
And we get out of the plane. It's a huge line. And we do this like whole proper, you know, they take our temperature, but not just like with this thing in your head, but like in the ear temperature. We have to go through all of these things. They let us go past the queue because we have, you know, Luca who's running around like a madman. Kids have been like really well behaved, but he's running around with a suitcase on wheels that we have two choices. Either him screaming like a maniac because he can't push the suitcase or letting him push the suitcase and running in on everything, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We kind of opt for option two, which actually helped us pass the line quicker, the queue quicker.
Yeah.
We're welcomed into New Zealand and then we're going to go through the final customs.
Yeah.
And in New Zealand, they're incredibly picky, right? With fruits or vegetables or so on, because they don't want to get anything to change or, you know, their environment.
Yeah.
Keep the natural habitat. And Steve's like, you've emptied the bag, right? And I'm like, yeah, I emptied the bag. And our zebra bag, the baby bag, start to go through this thing, you know, the x-ray. And no. And they send it in again. And they send it in again. And then they, like, we can see something here. And then they find two apples in there.
Josephine.
Yes. And they take us to a separate place. And I go a little bit too close to the person who's looking through the bag. She's like, step away from me. Because I'm like, I'm forgetting that. Luca is still running around like a madman. And they're like, we're trying to keep you separate from the crew. We're like, okay, but it's like two apples. We didn't know. We're so sorry. We already declared the almonds, you know, like we really tried our best. And it takes 15 minutes. Like this is more serious than all of the COVID testing and everything. It's this. And it's a $400 penalty if you have anything in your bag that you haven't declared.
Oh.
And then these ladies, they at least try to be nice. After 20 minutes, she looks at me and she's like, could it have been so that the kids put the apples in the bag? And I'm like,
moral dilemma.
Yeah. Yeah. I was like, I'm not sure, but that could have been the possibility. And then we are released. And, you know, but that was like the hardest part of the getting into New Zealand were the two apples that I had, you know, forgot in the bag.
Mm.
Anyways, we then get through control, security, so on, and we are bused to a hotel where we are met by the army and the navy. Representatives from both greet us at the hotel, and you know, we get tested and temperature, and we're taken up to our hotel rooms. And then here, it's all been pretty fine. Like, we've been very lucky. We got a big room and so on.
But, you know, at the end of all of this, there's, of course, like a massive silver lining, right? Because you will be let out when you eventually get out in the normal world where people are not wearing masks.
Exactly.
Like the olden days.
Like the olden days. So like the new normal, we're going to get to test like the other world, you know?
Yeah.
No, that's absolutely exciting. So now we're like, yeah, they should really limit who gets to get into New Zealand, you know? They should really keep it strict. Because, you know, obviously we don't want to get any COVID here now. No, so that's absolutely amazing silver lining. And, you know, they feed us really well. And Rafael is incredibly happy over his strawberry yogurt. So he told me today, this morning, that he would like to stay here for 1,000,000 years in this hotel. Whereas, you know, we're on day 7 out of 14. And I really feel like it's kind of been 1,000,000 days mm-hmm. already.
Yeah.
But he's happy for a few more because they get to eat kind of more sugar than they normally would be allowed in their diet.
They'll remember this for the rest of their lives. You know, the good times in the hotel in New Zealand.
It reminds me when we were kids and we went into this Christmas ski lodge with our parents. And there was like a morning cereal, sugary cereal.
Leftover.
And mom was like, okay, you can eat it. Because we didn't get to have any sugary cereals, you know, which I completely agree with. But yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And you and I had this morning walk. We talked this morning, right? Mm-hmm. When I was walking around and when you're allowed to jog. And we're just by this beautiful lake or estuary. And people on the other side are doing their morning walks. People on the outside.
In the real world.
In the real world. And they stop taking pictures at us in there. Like, because we're fully masked, right? As we're walking around inside of this fence. And it's not only one fence. It's one fence. Yes. And then there's another fence 2 meters on the other side so that we couldn't, you know. Yeah.
We have to post some photos of this.
Yes.
Yeah. Check it on Instagram. Oh my goodness. This is just so funny.
Yes.
In the meanwhile, I mean, I'm kind of in quarantine together with you as it happens.
Yes. So that was a little bit shocking news. But yet, like, thank you for going into quarantine with me.
Yes.
So, do you want to tell us about the drama on the other side of the world?
Yeah. And actually, I'm looking out of my window right now. Sorry, it's just a little bit of a mini interruption here.
Uh-huh.
And it's snowing.
What?
It's snowing. There's snow. It's snowing on our pool and on our palm trees. This is just so crazy. It looks lovely, though. All right. So the crazy world of Atlanta, where we're seeing snow today, even.
Uh-huh.
Now, here's the thing that I must say, we're really trying our best to be pretty careful. The girls have been doing online school, but now they're back to school. Everyone's wearing masks. I know this is different from country to country. And from state to state here in the U.S. as well, I'd say. I think the Southern way is a little bit more loose and free than
Atlanta is a little bit freer, I would say.
Yes, exactly. Right. So, and we've met people, we're doing tennis matches, we're going out a little bit and trying to stay within the same circle of friends. Anyway, this week, one of my daughters woke up with a very high fever. And of course, all these things happen at the same time, right? So my other daughter, Philippa, she's in the drama production and they're amazing here. The way they do their drama productions, it's quite different.
The school theater.
Yes, the school theater, right? So they practice for hours every day, like, and then they compete against other high schools. Now, her high school and her drama production that you first had to audition to get into and then they're there, right? They won the regional championship, which means that they're now gone to state championship.
Yeah.
Which means that, of course, to make that, they all need to be COVID-free.
Yes.
Right? So she's taken this super serious, like, in the past week when she sort of realized this, mm-hmm. right? And so now, of course, when Isabel comes down with a really high fever, it's like this panic that goes around in the house. At the same time, I'm doing a beta test for Franklin Covey, which means we test out new material, new content,
mm-hmm.
which basically means that you have an entirely new script that you're working with. You have real people, as in real leaders who are attending the workshop.
Uh-huh.
On top of that, you have about 7 Franklin Covey observers that are sort of observing you and you're being filmed. So it's like a high pressure day, like lots to focus on.
Yeah.
So then we have...
So the tour, because normally when you drive to your COVID testing, which you do, the new normal,
You have seen that as a bit of a family outing.
Yes.
It's through
yes.
a nice scenery and a Starbucks coffee.
Yes. We found this nice little remote COVID testing center. It's a well-kept secret, I think, where we've gone up two times where we've had the COVID scare and we've never had COVID. We've just gone up there because we met someone that had, right? You know, and we have our coffee and they come to the car and they test you and it's very pleasant, right? You know, so even like the girl's like, let's just go up there, right? And then we've gone for a little hike up in the nature. It's been pretty convenient. But so obviously it wasn't really the same. So Andreas was driving up with Isabel. And so, yeah, I get the text that she's having COVID. So now, of course, everyone is sort of in this strange quarantine in our home. So Isabel is quarantined in her room, so she's not like going to meet anyone, of course. Then Philippa, I think, is on an even more hardcore quarantine in her room because she doesn't want to risk getting it from anyone else. And Andreas, who didn't take the rapid test, but the normal, we'll find out tomorrow. So I guess by the next episode, you'll know who got it.
But essentially, everyone has kind of taken tests at different times. There are also different quarantine times based on when you took the test.
Yes.
And you have been having a headache for a while.
Yeah.
And now you mentioned something about Andrea's headache.
Yes. But you know, the interesting thing is when you have someone in your family who has COVID that you've met, you're like, it's so easy to feel all kinds of symptoms. So I'm just going to wait and see what happens. But yeah, so we are also in this sort of a crazy quarantine. We're kind of FaceTiming with each other. The girls, when they come down, they're wearing masks and gloves to like pick up food from, you know, I'm coming up. Isabel is having still a fever, but she's doing okay. And
is the atmosphere still hostile between the girls or has...
No. We had to. Okay. But at one point it was about to go in the wrong direction. But, you know, and we actually don't know, you know, who got it to the family. Yeah. So time will tell. But everyone is really good with their quarantine right now anyway. And
we don't know source X.
No.
What is it that you call it?
Patient A or I don't know. Well, anyway. Yeah. So it could have been me. I don't know. I mean, I think we've all been careful, but you never know. So
yeah,
that's very exciting. And as it happens, so my quarantine falls exactly in the same, like when you will be let out in New Zealand, I will be let out here.
Yes. So I'm let out, well, fingers crossed. Mm-hmm. On day 12, we do our final testing.
Yes.
And then we have to stay in our room for 2 days. We're mm-hmm. not allowed to go out on the premises at all.
Yes.
And then day 14, which happens to fall on Valentine's, we are most hopefully released.
Yes. And what are you going to do? What are your big things in this new world of freedom that's going to be waiting for
I'm
you then?
So excited.
I'm already almost like excited with you.
Yes. No. Oh, and you know, if anyone has any tips and ideas what they want to do in the free world. No, I will. Well, first of all, we're going to go down to Queenstown where mm-hmm. we're going to stay the rest of our time here in New Zealand. This is the plan.
That typically Rose Grey style, you don't know for how long that's going to be. Yeah, I've already had a few questions and I'm like, April, maybe. Let's see.
Yeah, April is the plan. We're hoping to go back because that's when schools are likely to start in the UK again.
Yeah.
So we're thinking for Raf to go back.
Time will tell. That's all I'm telling, right? That's all I'm saying over here. We'll see everyone.
Yes. And then my birthday is coming up really soon after that. So, okay, so things I'm really excited about is wine lunch.
Yeah.
Like wine lunch out in town, which leads to spontaneous shopping in a real store.
Yeah.
Not like drunk and at home on a Friday night clicking home things, you know, but like a tipsy wine lunch dressed up outside.
Yeah.
Dressed up.
And
also
it can actually even be a little bit crowded in the store and in the restaurant.
Oh, yeah. And then, well, will we be scared? I don't know. That will still be. I don't know. But and also like dress up from, you know, the waist below.
Yes.
As in not only having something nice on as a top, but, you know, wearing nice, maybe white flowy pants. It's summer here.
Yeah.
Wineless lunch with shopping. Hugs. Just like, hey, mate, you know, hugging people that you see.
They'd be like, who are these weird people attacking us?
Run after.
All these hugs.
Yeah.
And then, oh, just like going to a massage or a spa or like this kind of retreat. There are these beautiful places I'm Googling in Queenstown, where I'm hoping to do that and meet with real people. And then lipstick. Like, I'm all into lipstick now. You've been lipsticking under your mask.
Yeah.
My kind of poor quality lipstick that I've been having is schmooshing all over the mask. So I look forward to wear that without a mask.
Yes.
Good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's my release plans. Everybody, please, fingers crossed that it goes according to plan. But yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Good for you. I'm going to be thinking about you. So it's so interesting. I mean, it's not interesting. It's crazy. I remember when we went into lockdown here the first time, it was end of March or mid-March, I even forgot, and school closed for 2 weeks. And I remember one of the moms telling me, Victoria, I've heard a rumor that school would be closed until spring break. I'm like, nah, well, okay, maybe, right? Yeah. And then, of course, like, there was no more school that semester.
Yeah.
And it just keeps going on and on. And then I really needed to look into, like, the Spanish flu. For how long did that really last?
Yeah.
And that lasted for 2 years, really, like 1918 to 1920,
yeah,
which I thought was interesting. And of course, what it had in common with today's world is that people at that point, it was the first time people actually, due to the sad fact of all the wars,
were traveling
so much. And that's exactly what would happen. So it's crazy. And I did now read back on an old article from 2018, where there was this one researcher saying, like, yeah, we're due to get a new big pandemic within that not far distance. It's bound to happen again. And it did.
Yeah, crazy. And a fun fact for listeners that are not Swedish speakers, and maybe fun even for Swedish speakers, Spanish flu in Swedish is called the Spanish fly.
Yeah.
Spanska flugan. Which, never thought about that before, but up on consideration, is probably a direct translation, like, from flu to fluga.
Yeah, exactly. I think it was made as a joke, because I think we called it the Spanish sickness, but also the Spanish flu. And I think it made a fun theater. And well, we have to look at that's funny. But so here's the thing. If we look at all the things that have changed in this year.
Yeah.
What do you think, like, are the good things that will actually stay with us? And what are the things that we'll say, like, oh, yeah, the COVID years? Think, like, we speak about the 80s, you know, I'm sure it's going to be like, yeah, remember the COVID years, right? What will stay? What will go away? What do you think?
Well, first of all, just like the Spanish flu, I think that there's to talk about this reaction that will happen afterwards, no? That we will be more like the happy 20s that came after the Spanish flu, where people just went mad.
Really? Is that?
Yeah. That's the thing, you know? So hopefully we all get a little bit crazy and happy and fun.
So you're telling me that we have the new 20s ahead of us, like with that, the Great Gatsby style.
Yes. So cut your hair short, start wearing like your necklaces on your head.
So let's talk about that. Actually, the fashion is one of the points we said, like, how has it changed during COVID?
Yes.
And you already mentioned it, I think.
In what terms?
In the fact that we're all wearing yoga pants. I mean,
yes, yes,
buying
yes,
all these nice tops to look good on camera all the time.
Exactly. So like, yoga pants, top, and I think that's going to stay with us because I think that we're going to keep on working from home. So yeah. I think that there's going to be yoga pants. They're here to stay and they're so comfortable. Mm-hmm. And when we do go out, we dress up more.
Yeah, maybe.
At least the people that like fashion and so, you know, will be like, because going out is like a, you know, it's an adventure.
Yeah.
It's so I think we'll be more like, oh, you want to wear that nice thing that you have in your wardrobe that now you haven't worn for like 5 years because mm-hmm. you only wear it once a year.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I think that fun, crazy. And I think there's going to be a lot of, you know, in the spring, I think there's going to be a lot of pinks and yellows and oranges. So nice and fun.
You sound like a trend oracle, just.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so excited to read about that. So, yeah, that's wonderful. And what about a career then? You said you think we'll continue to work from home?
I think we'll continue to work from home. And I think that there's the trend, and you've been posting about this, but making your home office more permanent.
Yeah.
Setting your home office up. I saw someone, actually the contradictory to this, but she said that her best working space was actually the ironing board because she could bring her ironing board with her to different locations in the house. And it was her like perfect, she could, you know, raise it up and down and make it a standing desk and sitting down. So it was a little bit of smart.
But you know, that's how inventions are created. Like someone is doing that, someone is watching that. So that tells me that probably there's going to come a very flexible home working desk with
IKEA.
A little tip for you.
Yeah.
And talking about career, I agree with you. And I find that so many of my colleagues and, you know, obviously I meet different people every day on and they're like, wow, this is so good. I'd never imagined that a workshop could be this good. Online and all of that. So definitely, I think not everyone will go back to work. It, of course, it depends what you do. But I also read this trend where they follow how the patterns of how people are moving. Mm. And there are so many people. I've only looked into the US and Sweden where people actually move out to the country.
Yeah.
And leave the big cities and move out to smaller towns.
Exactly. And I think this is great. I think it will stay the flexibility. Mm-hmm. I think us millennials were already, you know, craving and wanting to do that. We wanted to work from different locations and not be bound by that or judged by that and, mm-hmm. you know, still be believed to be able to deliver the same way. And I think now we reached a threshold where, you know, the companies have had to invest in Zoom and in these technologies. Mm-hmm. So I think that's great. And then I think that there's still going to be this need to meet and connect. But that will happen maybe once or twice a week or monthly, which will enable the people to live in countryside to, you know, drive into town and engage.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So talking about connection, it was funny. I did a quick post on LinkedIn asking people what are the new normals. And quite a few said like, hey, we're connecting virtually for a fika or for like a Friday drink. And it's almost like we're actually connecting better now or more frequently than we did before. I mean, my colleagues and I, we used to travel all the time and there was really like no time to meet. And I've never met my colleagues as often as I've had this year because it's just easier to get together for that, to join that 1 hour weekly team meeting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And then I massively believe in flexible co-working spaces.
Yeah.
And of course, in our family business, I started to work on that this fall, which mm-hmm. wasn't the perfect timing because then restrictions got really strict also in Sweden.
You can travel.
You know, yeah, you can travel. And also people were advised to work from home, which of course made it difficult.
Yeah.
But the going to nice co-working spaces that, so in case of Welcome Hotel or Welcome Works, as we're calling it, where you have a spa and you have these other wellness type experience that adds to your workday. Mm-hmm. So you go to work, you have a good office, but you also have spa, you have breakfast and you get to meet with other colleagues. And maybe you do that a couple of times a week and the rest of the week you're staying at home in your yoga pants.
Yeah,
I think that mixture is really going to actually add to people's life.
Yeah, I think so too. But I am curious to see though, because Last night we were watching a movie and everyone was in this movie. They were watching a concert and I'm like, oh my God, they're standing so close and they're not wearing masks. You know, that thought was going through in my head. And I wonder, will we embrace? I mean, as you said, you're like, oh, do I need to go to a crowded restaurant? You know, like, will we embrace that or will that stay with us for a long time?
For Swedes, it will be very difficult.
Yeah.
to go to crowded places. No, but of course, I think you're right. And for the kids, I mean, it will have a long-term impact, I think, on kids. And just now realizing how much Raphael, who's five, is aware of it. You see other kids here, including mine, actually, like quite addicted to this, to the alcohol gel, you know, like running and spraying alcohol gel all the time. And of course, for my kids, it's just like a fun thing. But of course, there are kids that are worried and they're going to, you know, bring this with them.
So that is actually interesting because they say that every generation is shaped by the happenings from they're about maybe, so a little bit older maybe than your kids, like till their teenage years. So events like 9/11 really put an emphasis on one generation, I guess the millennials actually, and like these big events. So it's going to be interesting to see how this will shape the generation growing up now.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's move into to travel.
Yeah.
So, of course, the new normal is, of course, to travel less.
Yeah.
I kind of do that, given that I've actually moved between three continents during this pandemic.
You're the exception this year.
Starting off COVID in Colombia, then being in Sweden, where it's like, oh, wait, there's no COVID, you know, when I arrived from complete lockdown in Colombia to, like, cars everywhere in Sweden. And I'm like, what? And then UK starting off well and then just going absolutely bananas this winter and lockdown and now in New Zealand. So, yes, but what do you think about travel? I mean, I do have the feeling that people will want to start traveling when this opens up again. Mm-hmm. But I think that we will be more selective. Like we want to go to places that are COVID-free, maybe within Europe, or travel within Europe, like less long-distance traveling.
I have a really hard time to make up my mind what I think is going to happen because I feel I have such conflicting feelings on this. If I go to myself, I'm like, I just can't wait to go travel again.
Yeah.
And we just had a drink with friends and they're like, shall we meet up next year in Mexico? And I think people will have a craving to travel. But I also think exactly what you say, will this stop us from going like to think more and travel more consciously? And maybe also I think flight prices will probably go up. Also thinking about the environment, not trying to travel as much. I'm just really curious what is actually going to happen 5 years from now. What will travel look like? Will it be back to the way it was before pre-COVID? Or will there be a different travel pattern? I mean, very, very hard to say.
Hopefully there will be different travel patterns. Hopefully we will reduce and be more conscious. I hope that we do not stop traveling to places that might need tourism the most, you know, just because we deem these places maybe less safe in one way. I think workations, I've been already getting a lot of emails from different hotel chains about workations. And I think that this is something that millennials have already been doing. We go we go somewhere and work from there, digital nomads type feeling.
Yeah.
And I think that will become more of a trend that people like, why take 3 weeks holiday if you can go to the Canary Island and, you know, work for two of those weeks and stay in a hotel and work remotely? So I think that's going to be a big trend and going to give people more freedom.
Yeah.
But then I've also heard about like vaccination passports and, you know, what about wristbands and that kind of scary future feeling, you know, that we will only be allowed to travel. Do we have certain documentation and so on?
Just think about what you told me a few weeks back when you were on the NHS, which is the National Health app, right? In the UK. And you got a message that you had been in the proximity of someone who had COVID, right?
Exactly. I had been in the proximity and I was allowed, I should self-isolate for 12 days. and I did not open the app, like by complete mistake. I didn't like get, it was this warning that peeped up and then I couldn't see it. So yeah, I mean, good or bad or whatever, but yeah, so they know where you are.
Yes.
And they are.
I wonder what, I talk about Big Brother watching you, right?
Yeah. So I guess they could also see then on the app that I didn't self-isolate. I didn't see the message.
So when you think that you're going to go back in April to the UK, no entry.
No, and that's tricky, you know, because also now when they closed the borders or a lot of countries closed entry from the UK, we were actually supposed to go home for New Year's, we had thought. Then they closed down the borders. But then actually my friend contacted France and to go to France. And she said, well, actually, it's just the UK passport. So if you're a New Zealander or Swede traveling from the UK, you know, it's the passport that you hold, which seems to make no sense whatsoever.
See, but that's it. There are going to be so many no sense things happening. And really also thinking about like what kind of imbalance will that create between rich and poor and different countries? And will you have that vaccination passport? What if you don't have access to that? It's going to be interesting to see what difference in balance we'll see.
That's probably my biggest worry, and the more on a more serious note to this podcast. Uh-huh. And that is, you know, exactly that. We have said, you know, oh, the virus affects everyone the same, but of course it's not the same.
No.
The virus is not treating poor and rich in the same way, and we're not accessing the same kind of treatments and so on. So yeah, I am worried about countries where the vaccination programs will not be able to roll out or even where people, I guess, are less educated and wouldn't want to take them, even though they have the opportunity to.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there might be a lot of disparity that is created. And we see it, of course, already economically across the world. Everyone has so many people having lost their jobs and the economy is falling in many places. But yeah, so that is a worry. And I do think that it's important that we come out of this crisis and we keep our altruism and keep on supporting other people.
Yeah.
Because there might be this kind of backlash where we're like, okay, we've been going through a hard time. Let's party like the 20s.
Yeah.
But I think it's really important that we say, I've come out of a hard time, but other people are still in this hard time.
That's a really, really good point. And I think that also leads into health and mental health.
Mm.
And I think, you know, it's been a tough year for very many who are struggling with those issues. And at the same time, I feel that it's becoming more acceptable to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I find like a few years back, I would never really discuss meditation or breathing activities and things when I'm working with in leadership workshops. But now that's frequently requested and we often end up going there.
Yeah.
You know, to really see what can leaders do to create that space and to create that mental well-being, really, amongst their employees.
Yeah. And talking about that, I mean, the leadership trends, I think now coming up is really we're going to have these compassionate leaders that can support their staff coming back and help encourage and motivate and really lead in the best sense of the word.
Exactly. And we can see that with Franklin Covey, that there, so we have a few new contents that, for example, around unconscious bias, which is so interesting. And I could really recommend everyone to partake in that and around multipliers as leaders. So I'm just looking forward to see that part of leadership grow. And I think one of the most important leadership competencies of the future is really going to be, how do I help the individual team members on my team to feel well, to feel connected, to have the health, to be strong? Things that we've usually let everyone figure out on their own. I think now it's time for the leaders to take a little bit more responsibility, because at the end of the day, that's what's going to make people feel engaged and want to contribute.
Yeah, they're going to need to prioritize and show their workforce that they are spending time doing this and that it's a valuable thing to do.
And that's awesome what you're actually doing now with the UN and the project that you're working on.
Yes, I'm working on a super exciting project called Peace on Purpose with the UN Foundation, where we are teaching mindfulness and mindful movement to UN staff around the world.
exactly like this, as a skill to tap into. Obviously, UN staff is under a lot of pressure in a normal year.
Yeah.
So COVID is just the add-on to that. So having those tools available to you. So that's super exciting. Maybe I'll talk more about it in another episode.
Yes, I'd love that. So we are now sort of kicking off, I think, the third season. What are we in our third year? I think we've created together over 60 episodes. Are we on episode 60? Something like that,
maybe,
right?
Yeah,
and we want this year to be a lot around kindness, empathy, inspiration, insights, and build it a little bit more around that. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Today was more sort of a check-in on, like, what's the new normal in our lives? How are we doing? You're sitting in this hotel room in New Zealand. I'm here in my quarantine. And we just wanted to send out some love, some insights, some inspirations to all of you. And thank you, everyone, for listening. Feel free to reach out with ideas and thoughts that you think you want to hear more about. We have some interesting topics coming up, but we'd love to have your input too.
Yes, thank you so much. And perfect to end. They're knocking on the door. It's time for my daily temperature check with the family. So fingers crossed on that. And no, thank you all for listening. More kindness, more compassion, more self-care, I think, is the theme for us coming up this year. So hope you continue to tune in and please share this with other people.
Yes. Stay healthy, everyone. Stay well. Take care. And we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.